It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. There's an incredible amount to talk about in the world of conservation, the outdoors, how it relates to land use, agriculture. It's almost as though every day, your head is spinning at the speed of change that is taking place. And I'm going to reflect back to a show I did a couple weeks ago on which I had a large amount of input coming back. And that is when I talked about, can we just be civil when we have these discussions? So I'm going to describe a bit what is taking place as a result of the incredible speed of the reform of government, whether you like it or not. Please, again, I do this in a way that hopefully we can all listen to each other and have a discussion with each other without people screaming at each other. So this morning, it's Sunday morning anyway, in the middle of the winter, wherever you might be listening or if you podcast the show later in the week, the speed of change occurring at the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Interior is, I can barely keep up with it. I'm not sure I actually am keeping up with it. And I talk throughout the day with individuals who are involved, and I read as much as I can. And I can simply say I've been doing this for a very long time. And I have never seen anything like the dramatic transformation that's taking place. And I think that transformation, as you can always say, you know, embrace change or it'll run you over. So I think kind of the context of this show this morning is embracing change and figuring out how things are going to be better, because change is definitely coming. There's no question. The status quo, whether you liked it or not, at the U.S. government for the last many years, and in particularly the incredible growth in the United States government over the last 20 years, as it pertained to agriculture and interior, we're seeing now an absolute sea change. And I think a couple things are going to happen. First of all, I know firsthand of a situation involving the Bureau of Land Management where something had been taking literally years to get agreements signed between landowners and the Bureau of Land Management on reclaiming and improving wetland ecosystems. It was tied up in all kinds of red tape, and it literally nobody could come to a conclusion whether the landowner could make the changes that need to be made, whether they could make the improvements. There had to be archaeological permits. There had to be all kinds of permits issued. Nothing was moving forward. In 2 weeks, all the agreements were executed and signed, and now the landowner is able to go forward on doing the improvements on their land that they wanted to do, but which took literally several years prior to that with absolutely nothing happening. So what do I read between the lines on that? I read that if you're working in the Department of Agriculture, your customer is the farmer, and the customer has just gotten a boost in how they are being treated by government employees. That does not mean that government employees were not treating people well before. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying there's an urgency all of a sudden. And in the case of the Bureau of Land Management, which comes under Interior, there's no question that things, pieces of paper that sat on desks for a long time or were gummed up in all kinds of regulations are suddenly getting moved forward by the very same individuals who were tying things up. And I think what that leads one to believe is that the individuals that are being retained are going to be a lot more customer friendly, because for the first time, if you are working at the Department of Interior or you're working at the Department of Ag, you realize that maybe, yes, you can, in fact, lose your job. And customer service is, all of us know in the private sector, customer service is pretty important. If you don't have good customer service, you don't have many customers. And I can tell you from having done this with the Department of Agriculture and Interior for many years, the customer's not always right. The customer's not always treated in the way you might in the private sector. But now there are employees who are literally, and I spoke with one the other day, that they are concerned that they're going to lose their job. And they're a high-level employee at the BLM. So what are they going to do right now? They're trying to do everything they can to make sure that they don't lose their job, which means they're trying to be a whole lot more efficient and customer-friendly than they were. And you may say, I'm stretching that, but I'm seeing it firsthand. I'm seeing it in Interior. I'm seeing it at the Natural Resource Conservation Service. I'm seeing it in all the elements of government entities in which I've worked on a regular basis. There's suddenly a new urgency to justify your value or to move things forward that maybe the current administration would put on a higher priority than the previous administration. So the other thing that's definitely happening is we are going to have fewer people working in these agencies. And when you take the Department of Interior for a moment and you take our Forest Service and our national parks, there have been very significant layoffs already occurring, and I'm sure there'll be more. I think the end game here of what's going to happen is that the permanent employee base at, say, the National Park Service, which runs our national parks, is going to be dramatically reduced. And it's going to be replaced by a privatization of those services. So instead of having employees by the government coming with all the costs that are associated with frankly, very generous employment terms and health benefits and pension benefits, those are going to go away, and they're going to be private companies that are hired to do those things. The problem is this can't happen overnight. And I think we're going to see certainly a period of time where an awful lot of things fall through the cracks. In fact, I wouldn't even call it cracks. I would call it chasms. I'll give you a real life example of what you're going to face this summer. There have been thousands of people laid off who work for the Forest Service and the national parks, whose job it is to maintain trails, clean privies, and basically provide an experience for the customer visiting those parks that you would expect to have. People have been laid off or terminated who had those jobs. And a lot of those individuals were seasonal positions. So they were not full-time government employees, but they were government employees for part of the year. Those positions are gone. Eventually, those positions will come back, I think, through contracted services, either with individuals or with companies that will provide those services. So this summer, when you go to Yellowstone or wherever you might go, I think it's fair to say you're going to find that outhouses may not be maintained. That's a real problem. You're going to find trails closed because of debris that fell on them, whether it be trees or rocks, through an avalanche and winter storms. All of this is going to occur. And we, the American taxpayer who visit these places, we're not going to be very happy. I think it's a temporary situation. But in the meantime, the temporary part of it is absolutely reality. So as I sit here this morning on WGN Radio, I think we're going to have a pretty tough year when it comes to the summer and using our national parks and using a lot of the public lands that we have come to use, because I don't think the personnel are going to be there to provide the services that they once did. And you can argue, well, that's great, or you can say, well, that's a real problem. I think it's a problem from the point of view we're making a transition and we have not made the transition, and there's going to be a lot of things that don't get done that we would expect to get done. That doesn't mean a year from now they won't be back in place, handled differently. It means in the near term, though, I don't think customer service at our national parks and many of the basic services that we expect when we go to a national park or a national forest or a national seaside, I don't think they're going to be there this summer. I'll be back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do, I want to continue this discussion a little bit about how this is affecting the NGOs, the Ducks Unlimited, the Pheasants Forever, and the conservation organizations. And then also I've got a lot more to talk about, get moving out of Washington, but certainly this is transformational, what we're seeing. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back in a moment. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here. Hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just joining me, I've been talking about the changes that are taking place at a pretty rapid rate within the Department of Interior and the Department of Agriculture. I'm not going to revisit that. You can go to the website, the WGN website or podcast, and you can hear that. But moving forward, there's another shoe to fall here, which I'm going to develop in the coming weeks as some meetings are taking place. But just to give you a heads up on it, there are hundreds of millions of dollars, if not well over $1 billion, in cooperative agreements between the United States government, the Department of Agriculture, most notably, and also the Department of Interior in some cases, with private conservation organizations, otherwise known as NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Through decades of work, and Jim Range, rest his soul, was one of the best at creating these, he realized that private conservation organizations partnering with things like the Natural Resource Conservation Service could help the Natural Resource Conservation Service advance their professionalism in the scientific field by working with organizations such as Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, Wild Turkey Federation, etc. So individuals were placed into the offices of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, lots of individuals who actually were in partnership with agreements with organizations from the non-governmental sector. Again, Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, etc. Those positions right now, the payments of those, in large part, appear to be either frozen or will be canceled. The reason this is more complicated than it seems on the surface is, those agreements were put in place, frankly, with the evolution, and they really began under the Bush administration, in the George W. Bush administration in particular, because the private sector can deliver things more effectively in most cases than the government. And I think, at least in my world, I see that all the time. So Ducks Unlimited is going to be a very effective deliverer of practices and on-the-ground work. So that there actually was a benefit to the taxpayers of America in having cooperative agreements with Ducks Unlimited or Pheasants Forever or other groups, where the cost to the American taxpayer was reduced because Ducks Unlimited was picking up, or Pheasants Forever, was picking up a pretty good chunk of the tab, the costs of having those practices or those individuals sit in NRCS office, Forest Service offices, it really didn't matter. In the effort to reshape and dramatically downsize the size of government, which I can tell you I'm all for downsizing the size of the federal government, and if you disagree with me, I'm happy to have that discussion, but I'm all for it in downsizing it from the point of view of making sure that we're being more efficient in what we're doing, and not just efficient in the expenditure of our funds, but the efficient in delivery of how things are delivered. And if we enter a time here where the federal government ceases to live up to its part of the obligation it made with, say, an organization like Ducks Unlimited, where we're talking about a lot of money and a lot of people working for the betterment of our environment and conservation, particularly wetlands and waterfowl conservation, then Ducks Unlimited is going to have to decide how they move forward without the government being a partner of theirs. And there's no way that an organization can 100% pick up the costs of all these programs that they've been sharing with the federal government. So this is one of the consequences of moving quickly. Hopefully, this can be sorted out quickly as well. I know individuals who are extremely competent are working on it to say, you know, there's a lot of good here at the Natural Resource Conservation Service that's being delivered in partnership between the private sector and the government. We need to keep that going. Otherwise, if you stop it, it's going to be really hard to restart it. And I believe the end game is the federal government wants to have as many public-private partnerships as it can and wants to offload as many expenses as it can for private sector to deliver. But you can't just make a 180-degree turn or a 90-degree turn. It's got to be a little bit less dramatic. Otherwise, as the saying goes, there are going to be a lot of babies thrown out with the bathwater, and a lot of good programs are going to come to an end, and programs which I personally have had an awareness of for years and others that are really well thought out, they're not wasteful. There's a lot of good in what's taking place in conservation in the public sector, combining it with private sector interests. So hopefully we don't lose all of that. Before I have to go for the day, which is a few minutes from now, I simply want to say we also have the opportunity to see incredible modernization of survey techniques using modern technology. All kinds of studies are likely to be able to be done in a far more efficient way than they have been as we work to streamline government. So I think that's one of the very bright things that's going to occur. Certainly the massive surveys that we do on North American bird populations could use a very serious upgrade in technology. I think we're going to get that. I'll have more to come next week. I want to talk about the shortage in businesses coming. Pheasants Fest is coming. Also, the new head of the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. Lots going on. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy this wonderful week in February in the great outdoors, wherever you might be. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.